Hashtag Cuomocide. Conservative women lead the call for Andrew Cuomo to be impeached, plus the fierce force grows by one. Stay tuned for more. This is the Smart Girl Politics Podcast. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Smart Girl Politics Podcast. I'm Terry Kristoff, your host, also editor of the newsletter Fierce, which follows the conservative class of freshman GOP ladies as they take on D.C., and also kind of follows some of the other conservative women making news, like Nikki Haley, Sarah Sanders, Kristi Noem, some people that I think are going to be bigger players as the years move along. So what I thought I would do, the newsletter goes out every Friday to anyone that's on the list. So if you want to go over there to fierce.substack.com and get on the list, that would be great. But I thought for people who preferred an audio experience that I would do an audio newsletter. So this will be me doing my newsletter, the fourth edition, which just came out. The top three stories are the Fierce Force, which I call the ladies of the GOP freshman class because they are taking on the squad. So we're kind of having like a superhero throwdown. Anyway, so the Fierce Force expands with Claudia Tenney finally being declared the winner in New York's 22nd congressional district. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene says the vote to remove her from her committee assignments could prevent the GOP from retaking the House in 2022, and several prominent conservative women call for Governor Andrew Cuomo to be impeached for his botched handling of nursing homes during COVID. All right, those are our big stories. Let's dive in and start with some good news. The Fierce Force grew by one this week after Claudia Tenney was finally declared the winner in her race against Democrat incumbent Anthony Brindisi in New York's 22nd congressional district. The recount went on for three long months, but Tenney prevailed and took back the seat she lost to Brindisi in 2018. So she was in the House, and obviously 2018 wasn't a great year for Republicans, but she managed to fight back, and it was a topsy-turvy, upside down, right side up. It just kind of one of those things that went back and forth. But eventually she was declared officially the winner. So she was sworn in on Thursday, I believe, and there was a bit of a kerfuffle, which I didn't cover in the actual newsletter, but I can cover here, and that Nancy Pelosi would not let Claudia Tenney's son attend the swearing in. He is a military member, and I don't think a very good reason or any reason at all was given as to why he could not be in the chambers, in the Senate, or I'm sorry, in the House chambers while she was being sworn in, because there were a ton of people in there on January 3rd when the group as a whole was sworn in. But she couldn't have her son there. So a little weird thing from Pelosi. I don't know if Claudia Tenney has gotten on her nerves before or something, but as always with Pelosi, what she does doesn't make sense, and she's a little bit of a nitwit. Anyway, just as Tenney prepares to be sworn in, another one of our fierce force, not as fierce as I'd like to be, but she's on the force. Representative Marionette Miller Meeks, she is a Republican from Iowa, is preparing to battle to keep her congressional seat. Miller Meeks was sworn in last month only on a provisional basis, with Democrat Rita Hart contesting results in Iowa's 2nd congressional district. And it's funny how Democrats and their friends in the lapdog media get really, really quiet when it's one of their own contesting election results. Kind of funny how it works, isn't it? All right, everybody's favorite, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, she is a Republican from Georgia, held a press conference a day after last week's House vote to remove her from her committee assignments and warned the GOP that retaking the House in 2022 may now be impossible. To quote Marjorie Taylor Greene, Kevin McCarthy and the rest of the Republican Party is working hard on taking back the majority. And when you have Republicans in the ranks voting against one of their own, meaning the 11 that voted against her, opening the door for Democrats to go after every single Republican next, that really is a big betrayal, and that could cost us the majority in 22. I think she's got a point. As we noted in last week's newsletter, 11 of Greene's Republican colleagues voted with Democrats to remove her from her committee assignments. Three of those votes came from, unfortunately, our fierce force, three of her fellow GOP freshman women, Young Kim from California, Nicole Malliotakis from New York, and Maria Elvira Salazar of Florida. And we went over that last week, so we're not going to get into it. Fierce Force member Representative Diana Harshbarger from Tennessee. She's actually in the area of East Tennessee, where we're thinking of relocating to from Northern Virginia. So it would be kind of great to have someone in Congress represent me that maybe share some of my views. So anyway, she called out Democrats for their double standard in dealing with questionable language, such as they did with Marjorie Taylor Greene, particularly in the case of Representative Cori Bush, a Democrat from Missouri who favors riots when it's her constituents doing it. So Harshbarger called out Cori Bush, who had, there was a riot, a prison, and Cori Bush spoke out in favor of that kind of riot. And of course, any kind of riot that favors her constituents or her voting bloc is cool. Riots from other people, bad, bad, bad. You gotta kick people out, get them out of their community assignments, things like that. Anyway, to get back to Marjorie Taylor Greene for a minute, Thursday, she introduced the Second Amendment Preservation Act, which would bar federal funds or any gun control effort and block the sometimes heavy-handed Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives from enacting any new rules. She promised one of her platforms in running, Marjorie Taylor Greene, was not to just protect gun rights and the rights of gun owners, but to expand them. So she's making good on that promise. And she also made good on her promise. She said, hey, you're going to get me off of my committee assignments. You're really handing me a lot of free time to stir up trouble. And it looks like she's doing that. I'm all right with that. Representative Yvette Harrell, she is from New Mexico. She's one of the Fierce Force members, has taken the lead in upholding Title 42, which ensures that anyone who tests positive for COVID-19 is denied entry at U.S. borders. She has an act called Protecting Americans from Unnecessary Spread Upon Entry, PAWS for short. She has over 30 co-sponsors, and she is holding Biden's feet to the fire on this. She says if he eliminates one of the tools that Trump used, we know this slowed the spread in 2019 and 2020, and we don't want to see it exasperating our border communities. So she's taking a lead on making sure that people are not coming in, particularly through the southern border, and spreading COVID-19. All right. I'm good with that. On the subject of COVID-19, this is the big one. Several conservative women are calling for the impeachment of New York Governor Andrew Cuomo for his inept handling of his state's nursing homes during the pandemic. This follows the astonishing admission by his aide that they had the true number of nursing home deaths because they feared an investigation by the Trump administration. So this lady, I didn't write her name down and I can't remember it, but I can picture her because there's been a lot of like sourpuss pictures of her out there where she has admitted that they feared that the Department of Justice under Trump's lead would go after them. So they lied. So they lied for a very serious situation of releasing ill people into nursing homes to meet their eventual deaths. I mean, I think as we always like to say, if it were a Republican that did it, there would be calls, rightly so, for investigations, prosecutions, and other things. Anyway, so if you let that sink in, that's Cuomo signed an executive order that saw 9,000 people ill with coronavirus be released directly from hospitals into nursing homes, which resulted in thousands of further infections and deaths. Exactly how many deaths? Who knows? Cuomo's lied about it. Admittedly, they've lied about it. Janice Dean, who everybody knows as Fox News' senior meteorologist, has been dogged in her pursuit of answers from Cuomo after both of her in-laws died from COVID while in a nursing home. She's really, probably the leading voice asking for answers, asking the questions that the media wasn't asking of Andrew Cuomo, which is kind of crazy to think that a meteorologist, which is a great job, she's great at what she does, she seems like a lovely person, but how is it her job? How come she had to be that lone voice out there for a long time? I don't know, but okay. So now that they've admitted they'd lied, we got Janice Dean's finding a lot of support, particularly amongst conservatives and conservative women, which is what we're here to talk about. So it's not identity politics, just here to talk about them. Nicole Malliotakis, who, I was a little bit hard on because she voted against Marjorie Taylor Greene last week. She tweeted out the Cuomo administration not only covered up the true number of deaths at nursing homes, they covered up the number of positive patients they put in nursing homes that led to those deaths. This figure is 40% higher than what the state had previously reported. Cuomo must go. Marjorie Taylor Greene, I know, she's your favorite. She coined the hashtag Cuomo side, stealing it from her. So she tweeted that out along with the New York Post article that says Cuomo aide admits they had nursing home data so feds wouldn't find out. Nancy Mace, someone else who I've been a little hard on, but she's really turned it on lately. She tweeted, for months, healthcare workers, medical experts, and journalists raised alarms about horrific COVID-19 death rates in New York nursing homes. Instead of saving lives, New York Governor Cuomo lied to cover his ass. He even got an Emmy for it. Despicable. Hashtag impeach Cuomo. And then Representative Elise Stefanik, she's a Republican from New York, is calling not just for Cuomo's impeachment, but also for his prosecution. In a statement she released on Thursday, Stefanik implored, quote, Governor Cuomo, the secretary to the governor, and his senior team must be prosecuted immediately, both by the Attorney General of New York State and the U.S. Justice Department. This bombshell admission of a cover-up and the remarks by the secretary to the governor indicating intent to obstruct any federal investigation is a stunning and criminal abuse of power. And she's right. Interestingly, Cuomo met on Friday with President Biden at the White House. The issue of nursing home deaths in New York was not addressed. Because being a Democrat means never having to answer the hard questions, apparently. All right, last but not least, we got ourselves a little bit of info from Nikki Haley to misquote Forrest Gump. And in a nod to Valentine's Day weekend, Nikki Haley is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. I started the week thinking she was getting her messaging together by going after a can't-miss issue for conservatives, biological males competing in girls' sports. Haley wrote a piece in National Review, rightfully concluding, quote, if this trend isn't stopped, the achievements of so many brave women over so many years will be erased. That's wrong. It's insulting. And women know it too, whether they're retired athletes, middle-aged mothers, or a 16-year-old girl thinking of signing up for swimming. They're just afraid to speak out because they know they'll be silenced and called bigots. And she's right. I'm 100% with her. I hope she keeps speaking up about it. So cool, you're thinking. She gets it. She's not afraid to speak up. This is exactly what we need. And you fast forward to yesterday, Friday. Politico published an article about Haley where she inadvisably sat down for an extensive interview with a reporter who was never going to be fair or truthful, which she had to know, but she didn't anyway. She allowed him to twist her flip-flopping support for and derision of President Trump into one big question mark about her suitability for higher office, not to mention giving the reporter ample opportunity to rant ad nauseum about the former president, and we're so sick of it. We know. We get it. So how smart was this move on Haley's part? It wasn't. She was not a smart move from her part. And she's obviously lacking in direction and political savvy at the moment. She's lost support of grassroots conservatives, I feel confident saying, after accusing Trump of being responsible for the January 6th chaos on Capitol Hill. I don't see how any GOP candidate wins in 2024 by throwing Trump under the bus in 2021. Nikki Haley may lose out on 2024 before her campaign even gets underway. That is my conclusion. She is going to be a definite topic of conversation going forward. She's not making anyone happy. She's not pleasing Republicans, I don't think, because of her lack of support for Trump and then your regular old elite Republicans. I don't know. I don't know where she stands with them. We're going to keep an eye on this, but right now, I didn't see a whole lot of glowing affirmations for Nikki Haley, other than maybe from people who lean towards the left, and they'll turn on her soon enough, because it always happens. All right, question of the week. My last week, the question was, do you agree with the House decision to remove Representative Green from her committee assignments? It was overwhelmingly no, people did not approve that, and I kind of knew that was going to be the answer, but you know, I like to see what people are up to. I thought maybe there might be the case to be made that she should have, because there obviously is. She did say some kind of things. Nobody made that case. Everybody agreed she should not have been removed. So this week's question, because we gotta take the pulse of what people are thinking about Nikki Haley. Do you support Nikki Haley running for president in 2024? She's obviously one of the names when people are looking ahead. DeSantis might be one of them. I guess Pompeo is one. And Nikki Haley's up there. A lot of people hoping, wishing, dreaming for Kristi Noem. We'll see if that happens. But this week's question is just to gauge support for Nikki Haley running for president. So if you all want to join in, I would love to hear from you at fierce@substack.com, or you could go over to fierce.substack.com and join in the conversation there. We also talked about whether ladies are supporting Biden's $15 minimum wage. They do not. So I have a couple quotes. I'm not going to get into that. You don't care. The women of the Fierce Force do not support a $15 minimum wage, particularly on top of businesses that have already been pushed to breaking point because of the coronavirus restrictions. So a bad time for Biden to do that, which means he probably will. I got a couple other things to keep on your radar. Liz Cheney was censured by the Wyoming GOP. So we'll see what happens. We got a couple women out there we got to keep an eye on, and Liz Cheney's one of them. And I hate to say that because she was actually a speaker for, you know, in addition to Fierce and Smart Girl Politics podcast, that Smart Girl Politics used to have a yearly, well, you may not know that, we used to have a yearly summit, a conference, and Liz Cheney came to speak at some of the early ones. A lovely lady. This is several years before she held elective office, and I'm kind of surprised to see her go this direction, but then again, I'm not a run-of-the-mill Republican, so I guess we weren't vibing together. Anyway, I think I'll just wrap it up here. So things we're keeping an eye on, Nikki Haley, Liz Cheney. We're going to see what happens after, I'm recording this right after President Trump was acquitted for the second time of, you know, not impeached or impeached, but not convicted for the second time, to see what happens with some of those. Luckily, we didn't have any Fierce Force members voting, so we didn't have to take anybody to task for that. But we got a lot of stuff to keep an eye on. I don't think it's too early to start playing those games, the sweepstakes about 2024, and especially Nikki Haley. She needs to get her act together. She really needs to think about what she believes. Right now, I don't think she knows. She just wants to appeal to everybody, and in doing so, she's appealing to nobody. Anyway, hope everyone's doing well. Hope that the winter's not treating you too harshly. We're having an ice storm here today in Northern Virginia, and made me think, why am I not in Florida with the wonderful Ron DeSantis? Why am I here in freezing Virginia with Ralph Northam when I could be in Florida with Ron DeSantis? So anyway, hope you're having better weather than I am. Hope you're having a good time. Drop me a line at any time. Remember, my name is Terry, T-E-R-I, and you can email me at fierce@substack.com. Love to hear. I love feedback. I love it, love it, love it. So give me some feedback. Let me know how I can make my newsletter or this podcast better and more interesting to all of you. In the meantime, have a fabulous evening and a few days till I talk to you next. And I will chat with you soon on the Smart Girl Politics Podcast. Bye, everybody.